Time to pray again and connect. My name is Werner. If you don't know me, I'm sorry. I don't know all of you. But I want to let you know that this is my office, even though I don't minister here most Sundays. So I will welcome you into my office. It is lovely to be here. Today, we're giving Reino a bit of a break. So I came over from Shofar Gardens to visit with you lovely people today. So it's lovely to be here. So, those of you who know me will know that I like to be very practical around things. So when people say, what is Easter really about? You know, what is resurrection power? Then some people will say, and they'll be right, they'll say, it's about many things, but it's about Christ rose up onto heaven, onto the right hand of God, so that you and I can be saved. 100%. That is right. But what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to maybe just make it even easier and speak about five victories that we can have because of the resurrection of Christ. There's many more, but I feel there's just five that God laid on my heart. And when I say we can have these victories, I'm not saying try harder, fight tougher. You know, you can do it. I'm saying it. We can be victorious in these areas because Christ is so powerful. And because He puts power in us, because He loves us, that power in us can unleash amazing things. And it can cause us to look different than this world. That is the very thing why people get saved. They will ask you, why do you do that? Or how do you do that? Or why don't you do that? And the answer most of the time is because Christ is in your life, there's something different about you. And that power in your life and in mine causes us to live differently. There's about five things that I want to talk about tonight. But let me just start at the start. Come a bit closer to you. Feel so far. Please read with me in Ephesians 1 verse 15. Nice and slow. This is Paul writing. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's actually a prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church. And then he prays, my prayer is that the eyes of your hearts will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And then the third thing, okay, he's praying and he's asking that you will know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. Then he says, according. So in a way, Paul is saying, he hopes all of us here will understand the great power that is given to us. The power looks more or less like this, according. According to the working of His great might, that He worked in Jesus when He raised Him from the dead. Paul is saying the same kind of power that was busy, that was active when Christ got risen from the grave, is the same power that is working in us and through our lives. It is also the same power that placed Christ at the right hand in the heavenly places. It's the same power that put Him above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things, the church. That same power that caused Christ to be victorious over everything. There is nothing higher than Christ. is the power that is working towards us. And it's such a massive concept that Paul is reduced to praying, and he's saying, I just pray and I hope that you understand that that power is available to all of us who believe. But why? Why? Why is it important that you and I understand that there is great power available to us for living? Maybe in your own head, think about one or two reasons it's important that you know that there's great things that can happen in you and through you. I'll give you one reason. At least, I think it's the biggest one. The enemy is out to get us down. He is out on a mission to get us into sin. If you come from a past where you were pushed down to the ground, he wants to keep you there. If you came out of a good house where you were as good as a house can get, treated as well as a human being, he wants to squash you lower. He is out to get us. And if we don't realize that great power is given to us, we will just bow the knee to him. Okay? And we won't be different. We will just be the same, then look exactly like the world. So victory number one. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God. Okay, now I'm starting to hit the nails on his head. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That's the will of God. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Now, I want to tell you straight. The enemy is out to get you into sexual sin. Did you know that? Did you know that? That is what he wants to do with your life. And he does not play fair. You know, some of us, well, maybe not some of us, but you know that there's little kids that gets raped by older people? Did you know that? That's how low the devil will go to get you into a cycle of sexual sin. He will do anything. Because he knows, if he can get you and me into sexual sin, the first thing that goes out of the back door is my confidence towards God. I'm ashamed. If you're a young man, and you caught up into porn and masturbation, the first thing that goes out of the window is healthy relationship with someone of the opposite sex. The devil will steal the whole bunch out if he can. He is out there to get us. Any young man or young woman, I say young because that's where it starts. You can ask anyone in this building right here. All of us have been exposed to wrong stuff even when we were little. Am I talking the truth? I don't know how those things find us, but it finds us. And the enemy wants to keep us there. Now, I had a friend who showed me this book and his dad and these DVDs. It finds us always. The enemy wants to get us there. If I do not know that there is amazing power that works in me that can get me free from sexual sin, I would still be in it. I would bow my knee and I would say, it's just normal. Everyone does it. No one gets hurt. And I would bow my knee and the enemy will laugh at me. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, Christ got raised from the dead. And the amazing power was released. The power is of such a kind that it's not just a power out there. It's a power that comes inside of me and helps me having different victories on earth, of which lust, sexual immorality is one. Definitely. Now I'm telling you now, you've got the power in you to overcome that. Amen? I want to tell you on the other side, If you've been saved for a while, maybe your story is like mine. I had to fight this battle 10 years ago. I won this battle, and I am so amazed by what God did through me and how He saved me. But I want to tell you, if you are free of sexual sin, worship God for it. Because if we know how the enemy is out against us, we will not get familiar and say, oh, you know what, that stuff that I dealt with. We would remain thankful. So, both of us today, both groups, if you are out of sexual sin, you should be extremely thankful and worshipful towards God and worship Him for His power that rescued you. If you are on the other side, you're still stuck in it, you can get out of it. You're going to have to stand up and say, God, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get out of this mess, and I can do it because the power that works in me now is greater than that of the enemy. That is true. But if it was not for resurrection power, we'd all be in it, stuck in it, nowhere to go. Can I get one amen?
Amen.
The resurrection gives us victory over sexual sin. I'm calling things on its name. Otherwise, you think I speak about clouds and little things here, talking about stuff. Talking about pornography. Talking about masturbation. Talking about sleeping with your boyfriend when you're not married. Praise God for His amazing power that's working us. Amen. Victory number two. And He told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? He's arrogant. I've got so much money, I don't know where to put it. I've got a problem. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, listen to this, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? I tell you, I never in my life want to hear that word from God speaking to me. Fool. When I read it, I get the shivers. Imagine God at the end of the whole life. You know, you go through 80 years of this rubbish life compared to heaven. It's not rubbish. I enjoy life. But after it all, God says, you fool, you got short-term vision. You thought about money, you thought about property, you thought about barns of stuff. You are a fool. You only saw up to here. I don't want to hear it. I tell you, that is one thing I don't want to hear. Let's just go on to the next verse. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Amazing, eh? Money will cause, in the same sense I want to say pleasures. Okay, anything money can buy, because I mean, but what is money? It's paper, but what it represents, okay, will cause many people never to follow God. Do you agree with me? Money will cause many people to fall away from the faith. And a third group, and I pray to God often, say, Lord, keep me away from this. Money will try and enter your faith, okay, so that everything it can buy takes such a big part of your life so that you can't live your calling. You know, you're only human. Okay, you one person, you can talk to one person at a time, you can do one thing at a time, you can be at one place at one time. Right? If you go on a holiday to Brazil, you're not here. Agreed? You can only be in one place, you've got one life. Your life only consists of a certain amount of time, and the enemy wants to use money to take all your time and use it on pleasures. And therefore, because you cannot do two things at the same time, if you're busy with pleasures and money the whole time, you cannot live your calling. Now, all these things that I made a list in my own life that takes my attention is not bad things, but it becomes an idol in my life, and then it's bad because I put it above God. That makes sense? Okay? Now, I must watch myself the whole time because you say, I'm scared of those words, fool. You had short-term vision. I don't want God to tell me that. And I'm sure you agree with me. Another verse. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And I think I understand what Jesus is saying there. Okay, think about it for 1 second. The Christian faith through the ages has not become more spectacular, has it? It is spectacular, but it's something internal. If I have to, I think maybe, think about a picture that resembles a Christian faith. A picture that comes to mind for me is someone on their knees. That is it. This. Now take away all the sound, all the effects. If this is me being a Christian, something amazing happens in my heart, but it's not like a movie. You know, there's no sound, there's no music, there's no marvelous scene of a motorbike breaking through a window. It's just me on my knees. Okay? That's the Christian faith. It stays the same. You know what? Movies get better. Cars get better. Everything in this life gets better and better and better. And to get on our knees becomes less glorious externally in comparison to what the world has to offer. So we go to the world. Does that make sense? So Christ is saying it's so hard for a rich person that can't do anything right now to go on his knees. It is not glorious in worldly terms. It's boring. I'm saying it's boring. You know what I mean. Internally, it's everything. But from the outside, any young kid that doesn't go, no, God says, why would I go on my knees if I can rather go here and spend my life and do things here? And Jesus knows that. He says, it's very hard. It's very hard for one that can access anything right now to choose the way of worshiping me. And I can experience that in my life. There's so many things I can do with my time. And I think as a human being, it will remain a struggle. Amen? But then Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I want to tell you right now, because Jesus has risen, we can have victory over money and pleasures. In fact, a lot of us here has that victory. Praise God for it. If it was not for His power, you would not be here. No way. If God had no power in your life, you would have maybe been drawn to God. You would have had the sense that He's good, but you turn away. And you live your life by your own means. Do what you want, when you want. But because there's power working in you, effectively, you're here tonight. Praise God for it. Amen? This is a victory each one of us will have to face continually, but definitely at certain times more than others. Even your students. The day when you start working, you must consecrate your life to God from the start. Isn't that true, Marnus? This life will run away with us. But God's power in us can hold us with Him to the end. Amen. The resurrection gives me victory over money and pleasure. And man, do we need power for that one. The first two, both, are actually difficult. Can I go on? Victory number three. And you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. The Christian faith, because of our common enemy, The nature is of such that if there's not power in us keeping us upright, we will fall off the wagon. One cannot be a Christian and not go through trials, tough times, and tribulations. It will come. Think about it. I'm not even just talking about if you give your life to God right now. Let's say you're a good, proper sinner. Like all of us is without God. You come in here. Now you get saved tonight. Your life is going to go through storm when you walk out of this church. Because suddenly, I mean, you read two sentences in the Bible, now you realize you can't sleep with your boyfriend anymore. That is the first storm. It's a storm. We can laugh, but it's hectic. You must go tell that man, I must move out. It is a massive trial. Am I right? It's massive. But you must go and conquer it. So you need power to do it. To say, I'm moving out. Maybe you're using drugs. You must tell your friends, hey, I'm not taking this stuff anymore. It's wasting me away. They laugh at you. It's your trial number two. That's day one of being saved. Okay? The Christian faith is equal to a certain amount of trials. Am I speaking the truth? If you are sitting here because you changed at some time, it means that God is working powerfully in you, or you would not be sitting here. You'd be there where you were. Because of the resurrection, there's power in us to go through affliction and stand strong. There's something in us that says we must stand up for our God. What is that thing? It's the Holy Spirit coming in person so powerfully, allowing us to stand and not fall away. Let me go to the next verse. This is Paul writing. I read this morning with my wife. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Oh, that is not encouraging. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death isn't work in us, but life in you. Wow. Paul is saying, believers will go through tough times so that Jesus can be shown to the world. But why? How does it work? It works more or less like this. The devil comes and he wastes you up. He gives you a few clapper. Okay? Then everyone goes, shame. And you say, no, not shame. I'm saved. I've got Christ in my life. I don't care about that car. And then they go, whoa. And they go home and they start thinking, man, Jesus must be alive because he's worth so much to this person. And then something else happened. The devil gives you a few clapper and you're like, phew, that was tough. But you know what? Christ is my reward. And then people come, hey, how can you be so happy? You say, I'll tell you something. It did hurt. But Christ is worth so much to me that this is earthly things, man. What Christ come to do in me is so much bigger than this. And that is how people get saved. That is called your testimony. You know what? I can actually be a mumbler and a grumbler if I want to. I can gooi a lekker old moan. And the Lord is convicting me. Stop moaning. How must my glory shine if you... Stand up, be a man, and go through your trial. People will get saved. Okay, Lord. But I know it is possible if resurrection power is living in me. It allows us to stand when everything else falls apart. And you know what? We are alive in this world. And you know what's the bad thing of being alive? You must die someday. That's one thing. Well, we only die one death at least, because Christ died the second death for us. But all of us have a family. And you know, someday someone will die. That is a trial, just nature. Who's lost family here already? You will say it's tough. Okay, but that is one example of a trial. Just the nature of our life. We are set up for tough times. But Christ has His way to come amongst us and change it all for the good. If there is only a Christian that can stand up and say, man, this is tough. But Christ, you are so much bigger in me. and holding hands with each other, standing up and doing it, people will get saved. That's exactly what Paul is speaking about. He says, death is working in us, but life in you. His troubles caused other people to be saved. This is a tough one. But, number three, because of resurrection power, you and me can have joy and courage in trials. That's a big one, eh? Can I go on? Are you still with me? Right, victory number four. I think this is the toughest one of them all. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Okay, I think this is the toughest of them all. Leaving your nets. Now, what does the nets speak about? It's anything that you are doing at this moment. Anything that you can do with your skill. Maybe the place where you work. Maybe your whole life system. If you have to draw your life on a piece of paper. Let's call that your nets. I find that the toughest thing to do. To put my plans and my life to the one side and say, God, do with me whatever you want. I think it's the toughest thing to do. Does someone agree with me? It is hard at times. Sometimes better than others. But if Christ works in us in a powerful way, it gives a human being this crazy ability to say, I'm putting my plans to the one side. I am done. God, now your will be done and your kingdom come. When I see a Christian like that, sometimes you see it in motion, it inspires me. Man, I just want to worship God. I just want to go and read the Bible and pray, because it's not often when our lives get so busy, especially in Cape Town, you can do anything you want, whenever you want. It's all here. To step out of the mess into our callings. Difficult one. But I know if we pray and if we ask God, give me kingdom vision, resurrection power will come into our lives and it will empower us to make those difficult but amazing decisions. Amen? So that's number four. The resurrection gives me a vision to leave my own calling and follow His. Everyone still with me? You're awfully quiet. You're either listening or sleeping. I'll just tell myself you're listening. Victory number five. The last one. The amazing power of Christ and everything He resembles gives us the opportunity to be completely new. Completely. You know, the other day, well, about a few weeks ago, this one guy came to me in church and he says, I don't think God can ever forgive me. You don't know what I've done. But that is the beauty of God's power. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you are and what you were up to up till right now. This very second. The power of Christ can change a life. Make you new in an instant when you bow your knee to Christ. Isn't that just the most amazing thing ever? Isn't it amazing that any person in the whole of Cape Town, whether it's a prostitute, a drug dealer, a scallum, okay, a bad person can come into this door right now and they can be made new, brand new. Oh, that gives me hope for myself to start off with. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The power of God gives us this power to become new. You know what's amazing? If I have to look back on the person I was before I got saved, it's literally like I was another human being. You can't put the two together. It's so far apart, So I know what happened to me is the power of God came in and gave me grace to become a whole new person. And that is hope for all of us today. If you are here and you've been serving God for a long time and God has changed you, this must cause you to worship and say, God, oh, you changed me. Never stop being thankful for that. If you are not changed, then you can say, Lord, praise you because I can be changed tonight. You can make me new. Lord, I am this person. I want to be there. I'm so far from you. God's power will step into your life and it will rock your boat in a good way. Amen? So what I want us to do is I had these five victories. If you can go one slide back, that's fine. The last one doesn't need to be up there. And I want the band to come to the front and I want us to worship. And this is how I want you to approach it. If you've been walking a road with God for a few years and there's been victories over these areas, then I want us to be worshipful towards God. To say, God, wow, thank you. Thank you for every single victory. I recognize there was power given to me and I made it. If you're still on this side of some of that victory and you don't know how you're going to make it, then I want you to pray and say, God, change me. Make me new. Give me courage. I can do this. Not in my own strength, but because you are so great. Let's stand tonight. Lord, tonight we come so humbly, Lord, and we're just so amazed, Lord, that the power that you give us, Lord, it's not just the power to be there. It comes and it does specific things among us. It changes us. Lord, and right now, I want to thank you, Lord, for giving me victory, Lord, in different areas. Won't you just thank God for where He's taking you from and where He's taking you to? And if you feel there's an area where you really need victory because you're stuck there, pray. Say, God, that area, call the thing on its name. Say, God, this thing, it is holding me back. The power of Jesus is so alive. It will come into your life and make everything new.